Good. This is your boy B Barnes. This is the Gentleman's Guide podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time. Happy to be with my brother Drew once again.
Yo,
what's good? What's good? Got my other brother Massetti. What's going on, bro?
What's happening? What's happening?
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you lending your kitchen, hey,
man,
your humble abode.
Yes, sir.
Sukasa.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, bro. Today we are going to be talking about generational curses. We're going to touch on that a little bit. But before we get into these conversations, man, we got some hot takes. So I got to give a shout out to Golden State Warriors.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They, what was it, four championships and
four finals and no, something, I don't know. 6 years or six years finals. Yeah,
clearly none of us are Golden State Warriors fans. Clearly.
Shout out to my Warrior fans, though.
But, you know, I appreciate greatness.
Congratulations.
You know yeah, for sure.
I did call Warriors in six. I did say that.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I did.
You got receipts?
Yeah,
I don't believe you, bro.
Curry is probably the best shooter in all time, man. You got to give kudos to him, man.
He is. I would have to agree with you. Yeah. Like, I don't understand how anybody could think any different.
He's changed the game so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's beautiful basketball. The way they play together, the way they ball movement. We haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Draymond Green got a lot of heat for his non-contributions.
Yo,
if you look at the game,
shout out to Draymond Green, bro, because he knows, he is the epitome of somebody understanding what their role is.
Absolutely.
And fulfilling that role.
Following through.
Even when he getting all the flack from the media, or you shouldn't be doing this podcast, or you know your stats ain't the best, bro. He
contributed in so many different ways. The way he pushed the ball to be a 9-point guard, the way he make plays, the way he set other people up. He, it's beautiful basketball. If you really watch basketball and really a true fan of basketball, you have to appreciate Draymond. Now his antics, they are a little much. But so was Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
You know, his antics was off the chain. But look what he contributed to.
I mean, is it antics or is he just playing his role? Because when you think about the Pat Bevs, when you think about the Dennis Rodmans, when you think about what's another player that naturally just got under people's skin,
well, he goes out of his way. I think that's what the antics is.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Dennis Rodman, in a lot of ways, he was poking, you know what I'm saying?
Like my man at the Indiana Pacers,
oh, you talking about Lance Stevenson. Blowing
LeBron's ear.
See, but he wasn't. See, the guys that I'm talking about are defensive. They are like all NBA defensive players.
No, I feel you.
Right?
I feel what you're saying.
So Lance Stevenson is just a little net, but he's not a defensive. You know what I'm saying? He's a role player, and he's just, nobody's going to remember him in 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to have to like go out of the way and say, you remember Lance Stevenson?
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those players. Like, but Pat Bev is one of those guys that like he's going to go at any person on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. Pat Bev get on my nerve, though.
He get on my nerves, bro. I can't stand.
He plays his role, bro. That's his role. He understands what his role is. That's all I'm saying.
But sometimes he get himself and the team in a lot of trouble.
More so the team. Always hurts the team.
Because the player he going at, he end up getting scorched.
Yeah.
You know what he did to Luka. Come on, come on. Look, you too small for Luka, man.
He don't believe that, though. That's his mindset.
And I love the mindset. Confident. Yeah. I love the confidence.
Now, he was doing a little too much on the media at some point. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know if y'all saw him on first take.
Yeah, he did too much.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
He spoke out of pocket.
Yeah. A little bit.
Oh, what did he say?
He was talking about Chris Paul.
Basically, he was disrespecting Chris Paul. Yeah. That's basically what ended.
I feel like he was doing that for a job. He was preparing for life after the NBA. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he was out of pocket.
Yeah. But yeah, again, shout out to the Warriors. Steph Curry, greatest shooter of all time. Klay Thompson.
Congratulations.
Splash Brothers, absolutely, all that. So we're going to get into hot takes for the day, besides the what we just talked about. What would you, if you had to choose for the rest of your life, renting versus owning, what would you choose? Because there's pluses and minuses to both, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, just being from a business standpoint, 100% buying. I'm 100% buying because there's so many advantages. There are a lot of disadvantages, but there's so many advantages of from buying. I think the biggest thing is you got to look at the market in which it is now.
Yeah.
You know, the market is fire. Mm-hmm. And I know an individual who within 3 months had $60,000-$70,000 worth of equity already built in from the time they signed, closed on their home.
Wow.
And then they immediately sold. They immediately sold, made that money, put that money in their pocket, bought another property.
We could do that right now.
We can do that right now.
No, I'm saying we could actually do that right now.
Yeah.
So basically, we just renovated our home, Raleigh, right? And initially, when they're getting all the preliminary stuff out the way, you got to get it appraised, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure that, you know, it's not going
to depreciate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the bank wants to make sure it's a
good
investment on their part. All that aside, it appraised for, at that time, this was back in August of 2021, it appraised. According to the appraiser, I think it was $297,000.
Mm-hmm.
We could sell it for $350,000 right now.
Easy.
Probably higher than that.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the crazy part.
So I bought this house right here in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Bought it for $270,000. Right now, if I sold, I have like $200,000. I'll profit $210,000 right now.
Now on the flip side is people like, yeah, you can sell your house and make but where you gonna go though? Because the inventory
is low.
That's what the market is right now.
And I think that it is one of the downfalls. But one of the key things that I think is so critical about having, you know, buying a home is like your home is now your own bank.
Yeah.
When you think about it, so many different things in life that allows you to be a bank. A mortgage is one of them. Your house is that bank where you don't have to go to an actual banking institute to borrow money against.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it right here.
Yeah.
Second thing is life insurance.
We've been on that now.
Life insurance is a bank that in which you can utilize as a bank and borrow against. Mm-hmm. And that is your money. And after 3 years, after you've been invested into this life insurance policy, you can pull that money out and use it for whatever.
For anything. Yeah.
And start a business. If you use it for real estate, you don't have to pay a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use it for anything else, you do pay a tax on it, and they do tax that for it. But if you utilize that life insurance towards real estate, which mm-hmm. then again goes back into ownership.
Ownership, yeah.
Is why I really think, you know, I prefer home ownership over that. And again, I don't want to disregard individuals that are not in positions to, you know, rent. I'm not putting,
because it may not even be an aspiration for some people.
It may not,
you know,
be.
Like, you know, everybody different.
Everybody is different. Yeah. And everybody may not be in a financial position to really afford to put money down.
Right.
Do maintenance on a home. They may not know. They may not. It's like
variables.
I 100%, you know, get in and understand. You know, but I will say to those individuals that may not fully know all that it takes to buy a home, to what it takes to, you know, get into a mortgage and to become a homeowner. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as you think.
Yeah,
it's not. It's really.
It's a learning curve for sure.
It's a learning
curve. If you don't know.
But it's two things that I think are very critical. Your real estate agent, get a very knowledgeable, reputable real estate agent. And two,
who you finance. Yeah, I'll say
your lender.
Who you get your money from.
Definitely get a lender that is for you, not just for your getting another loan up under their name, getting that commission, as well as your realtor. You want, I love my realtor to death. Yeah. Love her to death. She's family. She's family now. She calls. She checks up on her. I check up on her daughter. Mm-hmm. She checks up on us all the time. And you know, it wasn't a transaction where it was like, I'm gonna forget about you now. Like, yeah. We really, really, like that's family to me. You know, yeah. Shout out to Miss Irene. You know, if anybody need a realtor, Miss Irene.
Yeah.
I'm sure you probably felt the same thing with your realtor.
Yeah. I'm like this right here. When it comes to services, whether it's a dentist,
yep.
Whether it's a doctor, whether it's a realtor, lawyer, all these services, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, when you find somebody that you work well with, I think that's a big key.
Absolutely.
And and making these, because these are huge decisions.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest decision you ever make.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The biggest investment you'll ever make.
Yeah.
So what drove you to want to own or be a homeowner?
Me personally, I wanted something, my legacy. Okay. I wanted to start a legacy. I had a individual that I used to work with. You know, he just used to give me game all the time. And he worked in the construction industry prior to me and him working together.
Mm-hmm.
So this is right around the time that Obama was getting out of the office.
Gotcha.
So he said, hey, look, yeah, young blood, I don't know if you know what's about to happen, but buy your house.
Mm.
Buy your house. I'm not going to get into the government. And this is what he told me. He said, I'm not going to get into the government side of it, the politics on it. But I've seen this before. Buy a house. So I took that to heed. Mm. And then me always wanting to have something, you know, to pass down to, you know, my future kids.
Yeah.
It was just something. So I couldn't do that with renting. Mm. So my first step was buying a home. You know, I wanted something to call my own. I wanted something to come home to. I wanted something to customize without somebody telling me. I mean, of course, we got HOAs. Of course. But.
Ooh, HOAs.
Yeah. And I'm on the board, so I already get it.
Oh, you got it.
So I really just wanted to start a legacy, you know, because when I'm no longer here on Earth, you know, this will be paid for. And
then
they got something that they don't have to worry about.
Yeah. I think a lot of people forget, and it's, again, everybody has different goals in mind for, you know, long-term future or whatever. But a lot of us have to remember is I won't say just home ownership, but land, owning land. Mm-hmm. That's the first way that we were really anybody was able to accumulate any type of wealth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the, so like, they don't make any more land.
They're
like,
not gonna
make, I know we heard this a billion times from all the old heads telling you, that's the first way to accumulate wealth.
Yeah.
So for me, like, to answer your question from my perspective, now I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. That was very eloquent how you went into everything you just explained.
Yeah.
That was great. But back in 2015,
you won't think it that way.
I won't think it that way, bro.
Right.
Nigga, I'm just thinking like, man, I just want a house, bro. Like, I remember Gerard was looking for a house. I was like, he looking for a house? Oh, let me dive into that that process and see how it goes. So we reached out to my wife's, her mom's realtor, my mother-in-law's realtor, and we've been using her ever since.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like, to me, that mindset, I wasn't there yet mentally or, you know, mature-wise. It was just, man, I'm just trying to get a house and see what I can get.
Do you feel like that was as far as like a best decision you ever made or
how best decision I ever made because the timing of it?
Yeah,
bro. Anybody know about the Raleigh area?
Yeah.
If you find a house inside the Beltline, 5-minute drive to downtown.
It's a landmine.
For $100,000.
It's a landmine.
Y'all not going to believe me. We got a house, a brick ranch house for $100,000 in 2015. Right? Those houses don't exist anymore.
Absolutely not.
Unless it's tore up and got dog feces everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This house was, we moved right into it. Now, did it need to be updated? It was definitely like, wasn't updated, that's what we just did. But it's wild to think like the timing of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I wasn't making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Bro, it was just me when we were trying to figure out who was going to be on the mortgage at the time. It was just me. And I wasn't making, I want to say hourly wage, $15, maybe less than that.
Yeah.
And somehow I qualified for the mortgage.
Right.
I'm telling you, it was a different time. Look, look, my grandkids like, Dad, you mean to tell me you got a mortgage when you was making? You could fast forward like 50 years from now, and be like, back in my day, you know,
back in my day,
that's how it was, and this was only like 7 years ago.
That's beautiful.
You know,
beautiful. Yeah.
But on the flip side, what are some pros to renting? Because I know I can list some.
I don't have to worry about lawn care.
That's one.
Lawn care, man.
Maintenance is probably the top.
I just think that another pro is like I can just up and move.
Yeah.
Apartments are readily available right now.
Yeah.
They're putting up apartments everywhere.
Yeah.
Listen.
Everywhere.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all noticed right here on Capitol Boulevard, they're building a apartment complex right across the street from the ABC store right before you hit 40 and 440.
Oh, that's where the Capitol Hotel used to be. It was vacant for like 10 plus years.
Right on Capitol.
Remember the old hotel?
It's the only apartment complex on Capitol Boulevard.
The only one.
Yeah, because that's
from downtown.
That's 98% commercial real estate. Yeah.
From downtown all the way to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
The only apartment on Capitol Boulevard.
That's going to be.
And look how they're cleaning up that Raleigh.
Bruh, because the joint was sitting desolate
for years. It was vacant for 10, 15 years at least.
So I love what they're doing there, but also it's sad sometimes because they're also putting out. I had a conversation the other day. I was like, you know, what are they going to do with
low income individuals,
all these homeless individuals? It saddens me sometimes to just think about, you know, can people really afford to live here?
And this is why. I'm on that note.
Can people afford to live on Earth?
It's tough, bro. It's hard out here.
Go find some land on Jupiter.
Yeah.
Mars or something.
Yeah. No. But yeah, bro. Like I would say, renting number one would be maintenance as a pro. Freedom to move around. That's number two.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't locked in. You ain't locked down for 15, 30 years. You don't have to worry about. This is the part. Well, I take that back. I was about to say you don't have to worry about interest rates, you know, fluctuating over time.
Your rent, but rent
fluctuates. Yeah, we know this.
Yeah.
Which is all a part of everything is in conjunction. So we're talking about interest rates for mortgages, rent. It's all controlled by the same line, which is the economy.
Hey, them motherfuckers up there.
Them niggas over there, right?
Yeah.
You know. Cosmetic industry starting to like. I'm starting to see more and more stuff like the head pieces, the fill-ins, fake abs.
is no judgment from me. You know what I'm saying, in no way, shape, or form. But hey, bro, if your hair going,
let it go.
Just let it go.
Let it go.
I get some people do like the Beijing. You know,
but okay.
Like Jalen Rose on ESPN.
That joint be sharp.
Yo, yeah, yeah.
People keep talking like, yo, it's so sharp.
But it's Beijing.
It's Beijing. Bro, it is.
Nobody's hairline is naturally that dark.
That dark, bro.
Yeah. His barber.
I think for him, that's okay. That works for him.
By all means, do what you do.
He's kind of, you know how somebody, a celebrity, it's okay for that person to do a certain thing. It's just like when you see somebody walk around with the booty cheeks out. It's like, nigga, nobody could do that but Prince.
Yeah,
it's like,
come on, bro. Come on, bro. Come on.
And that was debatable for a lot. But you understand, my point is, just like when you watching a Michael Jackson video and everybody else in the background doing the same dances he doing, but he just looked better doing it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, as a celebrity or a famous, you know, anybody with some type of notoriety, when you start to kind of cement yourself as a, who you are as that person,
right?
As the famous public person, figure, it's like Jalen Rose. Oh, he didn't nigga with the hairline. He got a fresh hairline. That's what he's known for now.
It be fresh.
It be fresh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
but it ain't for me.
No,
you know what? I will say this. I had the Beijing once by accident.
By accident.
By accident.
By accident.
What?
Really? By accident, bro.
So no, I'm gonna tell you the story.
I don't believe you.
I'm gonna tell you the story. It was like 2012, 2013. I'm in the military. One of my homeboys was like, "Yo, I was saying, I need a barber, bro. I need a barber." He's like, "Yo, go to my man's." You know what I'm saying? X, Y, and Z. I'm like, "All right, cool." Boom. I didn't know what Beijing was. My man, he lined me up, whatever. Then I see him like spraying. Like, I'm thinking he getting my hairline.
The
like
boy got my airbrush.
I'm thinking he just getting like the oil sheet.
Off of,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm like, oh shit, this, you know what I'm saying? He's good customer service right here. Get to the crib, man. I go out that night. Bro, I wash my face.
Hey man,
what the?
What's this black stuff? I knew I was dark. It's the real deal.
So that was my first time having a Beijing and absolutely my last time. I never went back to that barber again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, he did you wrong, bro. He didn't even tell you.
So can you
what's up?
Kind of briefly describe when you say cosmetic, like just.
So obviously there's levels. So you got Beijing filling in the beard. You know what I'm saying? Filling in the hairline. That's low level. Niggas been doing that for years, right?
Yeah.
Right.
The new stuff that I've been seeing on the TikToks, the Instagrams, you just scrolling on different reels, you see right. here stuff pop up. Dudes getting fake abs now. The hair, like the hair piece. Well, I guess somebody, hair piece has always been a thing.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? It's been upgraded recently.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they got the glue with the...
The glue, the and yeah. they be fading it in like yeah. with waves. Bro, it looks Everything. Legit. It hey, looks legit.
I'm not a fan of it, man. I'm not a fan of it. I'm also not a fan of women cosmetology. I'm not a fan of getting BBLs. I'm not a fan of, you know, but
yeah,
I can't talk
me
down
either, yeah.
I'm not gonna talk down on it, you know.
Shout out to all the natural.
Yeah, I'm a fan of natural.
Listen, look,
it's something by the natural.
It just moves different.
Shout out to all my women got natural bodies, man. Still, it's still a theme, man. Don't let
it's love
tell
everywhere.
You. Yeah,
of
yeah,
course, absolutely. Love everywhere. But if I had a preference,
yeah.
I'm like this right here, bro. Because I don't. To me, part of me is like, okay. I'm not a hypocrite. Like when I see a, because there are good versions and there are bad.
No, nah, of course. Yeah.
So when
yeah.
you see a good one, you are like, yo,
that's
got,
a good
she
job.
Got body, she got her body.
Your
done
doctor,
that,
your yeah, doctor is very rich good. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's referred at least 10 girls.
But when yeah. they kneecaps, when they kneecaps don't match the booty cheeks yeah, or the yeah, thigh.
No, 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 no. It's not the kneecaps. It's when the hamstring.
Calves.
When you got that ant booty, the ant booty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But yeah, I, to
for,
me,
for males,
I'm to each I'm, his own, bro.
For males, I'm 100% not a fan of it. You know what I'm saying? I've been in the gym, but again, you know, I'm secure with my body. You know, I've been an athlete my entire life. So have y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if we're not comfortable with what we do, we go to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, we work out.
Facts.
You know, so I think it's kind of like Instagram. It's like the instant gratification.
You get those filters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You what do you? Well, I don't know the mentality of it.
Well, to me, it's like, okay, you don't have to understand.
Yeah,
I think for
yeah.
me, from how I look at it is, to one, to each his own.
Yeah.
To me, it's this, when it comes to cosmetic, it comes to anything, different religions. It's like, bro, if this helps you get up and not jump off a cliff every day, then that's for you.
That's a great point.
You see what I'm saying?
We don't know what somebody is dealing with.
Everybody's
dealing
with
something
thing.
Completely.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I see where you're going with that.
That's why I'm at with it. It's yeah. like, now, when you ask me,
would
somebody
you
ask you, yeah, would you? I pay you this much to do this. Like, I don't know, fam. That ain't for me.
That ain't
for you know
me. Because I can hate you know where it yeah. yeah. I get you.
But like manicures, pedicures, like what about
bro,
that?
Bro, I need a pedicure.
Yeah. I don't think I think that's regular maintenance.
Yeah,
I think that's
like
okay.
a haircut.
Okay, like
now hair. I think traditionally.
Self-care
you know,
type.
Is it was it super manly to yeah, get yeah. your hands and your feet right. done? No, of course not. But we bro.
It's
relaxing,
bro. It is relaxing.
I don't think that's anything wrong with that.
No, I don't
think,
mind having a woman rub on my hands. And
listen,
bro,
look.
Whoa, that went left.
give me a massage.
All right, Deshaun.
Shut up. That's the real thing. He's stupid.
No, real talk. Like it's I don't mind. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's
because
very soothing.
It's actually it actually builds confidence
yeah.
because, you know, with so many men, you know, that it hasn't for so long, they didn't take care of their feet. Now they're in a position where, you know, their feet are, you know, it looks bad, you know.
Yeah.
My feet don't look the best. Hey,
no,
but,
I look.
After playing
I done seen some nasty, raggedy feet. Yeah. I'm not going to name y'all, but y'all know who you are. Back at NC State football program. Y'all remember. Y'all, yeah. It was bad, bro.
So I 100% get it, man. You know, get your feet done, man. It's okay to get your feet done.
Get your feet done.
Man.
Yeah, bro. It's okay. Get a
very
facial.
Important, man.
Get your face exfoliate. Exfoliation is key.
Yeah. Take care of your skin, man. Take care of your skin. You know, take care of your beards.
Yeah.
Use some beard oil. You got them flakes in your beard
yeah.
and in your eyebrows.
Hey, that castor oil, it works wonder.
Hey.
Use some coconut oil or
listen,
something.
Listen. Ball deodorant.
What?
Bro, ball deodorant.
What is that?
Bro,
you've been shopping at Manscaped.
Exactly. That's what
you've been shopping at Manscaped.
That was my early Father's Day present. Bro.
Oh, okay,
man,
okay.
I got the whole deal. I got the ball deodorant. I got the shaver. I got all of them, bro.
Hey, bro, ain't nothing wrong with that. I feel you,
bro. Best decision I ever made in my life.
Come on now,
I'm telling you.
Boy, I might have to check into it. Man.
Musty nuts, no more.
Yeah.
I ain't saying I was musty, but nigga sweat, bro. Like
yeah,
it is what it
nah,
is.
It's reality, yeah. bro. And you think about this damn heat wave we in, bro. Like you need something.
Yeah.
Bro. Best decision I've ever made. And when I posted it, I posted on Instagram, dudes was like, yo, I love my.
I'm gonna have to check it out, bro. I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm gonna have to check it out. I ain't saying my nuts musty or nothing, but but I'm gonna check it out. I like being fresh.
Bro, if your armpits get musty, then your nuts get musty.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Some of y'all, the back of your knees get musty, but I ain't got another story for you. So we're gonna talk about generational curses in the black community. Yeah. Black men.
Yeah, we kind of had a brief conversation, and one that stuck out to me was showing emotion.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
And when you do show emotion, how does it come out?
Yeah.
Most of the time it's...
Yeah, we had a conversation, matter of fact, on the episode right before this one that we recorded in Wilson.
Yeah.
Dry was talking about, I think he was talking about how he reacted in a certain situation that happened with one of his daughters.
And he saw
our dad, you know what I'm saying, in that moment, he was like, had to take a step back.
Yeah.
Kind of like, dang, I sound just like him, you know what I'm saying? So, and then he could see the reaction or the similarities in the reaction that he portrayed in that moment. So I think, man, you know, with our the generation of our dads, you know what I'm saying, I think your dad is a baby boomer as well, you know what I'm saying? Their fathers were put into certain situations working at an early age and had to cut off all types of emotions and to kind of withstand
to cope. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For the most part. You know what I'm saying? Like I know my grandfather, like he was one of the greatest men in the world. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like
he won't perfect, bro.
He won't perfect. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In my dad's early years, I don't think my grandfather showed the type of emotion that he probably needed. You know what I'm saying? And my dad kind of portrayed that, you know what I'm saying, with us. You know what I'm saying? He was present. Don't get me wrong. My dad
he was always there. Present, you know
what I'm saying? Always supportive, you know what I'm saying, with sports or music, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it was a layer of emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was kind of
like,
the way we
were conditioned to communicate.
Absolutely.
Our feelings, you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
you know, just to piggyback on that, you know, my dad did, and as a youngin, shout out to OG Heath, man, that's my dog, man. My dad is my best friend, but I've gone to learn him as a man, in my later years of being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I will say is, as a kid, he didn't show me that. You know, it's okay to show emotion. It's okay to talk about what it is that you're feeling. It's okay to talk about, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
It was like, nah, you got to man up.
Man
you
up.
You gotta do this. You gotta do that. But you know, I have feelings too.
Yeah.
I think now my dad is, you know, very sharp now.
Mm.
And he allows me to talk. He allows me to, you know, speak my mind,
yeah.
You know, speak my emotions. And I think I learned how to grow up as well as, you know, my dad had to learn as well,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because having that disconnect from your kids sometimes can, you know, regardless of how emotionless you may come across, like it does hurt you
right.
As a parent. And, you know, I'm not a parent, you know, but it's, I can see, you know, those things in my dad, you know, and I've seen his growth over the years. And you know, sometimes I call him and I say, hey dad, I just need to talk.
Yeah. And that's all you can ask for, bro. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think for me, it's not so much about, these quote unquote generational curses,
yeah.
But it's all about acknowledging your faults,
yeah.
And making an effort, a legitimate effort
to
be better,
yeah.
Because we heard it a billion times. Once you know better,
you do better.
Do better. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that's the biggest deal.
I also, you know, think another generational curse is financial.
Oh yeah,
that's up
there. Hands down.
That's definitely probably
hands down.
They probably tied for number one and number two.
I think our parents just learned how to survive.
That Joe
survival,
survival mode.
Yep.
And so you know they barely getting by. You know, making decent money at that time without an education.
Yeah,
you know, without higher learning.
Yeah,
and really just getting day to day, you know, it may be a Wednesday and we may not have anything but bologna and cheese and a loaf of bread that's halfway molded.
Mom, I'm hungry.
It's some hunger.
It's some cereal in there.
Some beans in there.
Hey, you got to make do to payday.
Figure it out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the house.
You know, so we get paid at the end of the month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Been in the school system. Yeah. So, you know, just I think that's a generational curse that we have to. And I think, and shout out to our generation, bro.
Yo.
Shout out to our generation. Because sure. Like
props to millennials, man.
Yeah. Shout out to them. Because I think we were the turning point of that. We was like, yo, one, you know,
enough.
Enough is enough. I'm not gonna keep dealing with this. You know, I'm not gonna keep dealing with emotional trauma.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna keep dealing with being broke. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna keep dealing with all these things that has carried on from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, being, you know, slaves in that generational
curse. Yes,
it's wild.
Yes, sir, man.
Yes,
you know, to I don't want to offend this, you know, where we're going into our corporations and say, like, I demand respect.
Right.
I demand my money.
Yeah.
I'm not going to accept
this. This is what I'm worth.
This is what I'm worth.
I think the biggest part of what you're talking about, like just the transition to where we are now from when we were kids,
right?
How the world is, the biggest thing that changed was technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, at some point you had the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. that, you know, niggas was working in the factories because that was
available.
That was what was available.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's so much out here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so much abundance of so many different things we could do, possibilities. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got everybody got bachelor's degrees now. Yeah. So many people got master's degrees now.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a different world. And
hey, man, we getting that bag.
Yo.
And
that's what I try to tell people. I'm like, look, man, get your money, man.
Yeah, get your money.
Yeah.
You know, just to get back into like generational curses, mm-hmm. We're also, and what I love most about our generation is like, we're holding people accountable.
Yeah.
We're holding people accountable. It's no more of, you know, that person is just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grandma is, that's just what she's been for
years. You got to answer for your act. There's consequences.
There's consequences for your actions.
Yeah.
And we're holding those people, you know, no, what you said was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you've been that way for so many years. That don't mean it's right.
Yeah. I shouldn't just be accepting of dysfunction.
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest curse, is accepting dysfunction.
Like, this is the way it is.
Why do I want to be in dysfunction?
I don't want that.
Yeah. And it's wild because most of the time, it's crazy to see, and again, I'm not one of those people that be like, you find out something new, and then when you move away from what you were,
right,
and you judge everybody who's still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not that conversation. It's more like, it's really mind-blowing to see somebody. It's just like when air conditioning didn't exist. You didn't know how great it felt.
Yeah. You didn't know how bad you had it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like you're literally functioning in dysfunction.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is your norm, and you believe this is normal.
So look at what we just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. We just talked about not showing emotion, mm-hmm. financially broke,
right,
and living in dysfunction.
Yeah.
That was an everyday norm.
Yeah.
For a lot of generations, our parents, our grandparents,
great-grandparents.
So look at all that we just, and look at how we're changing. Listen, that.
Just our grandfather, God rest his soul, Benjamin Barnes, but absolutely. he used to tell us all the time, he dropped out of school, bro. He was the oldest son of what?
He was the oldest son of six, so he was the second oldest of six.
He had to drop out of school at what? I want to say.
He had an eighth grade education.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think my granddaddy had an eighth grade education.
That's what he told
they
us.
They probably passed him along a couple times. But no, he had eighth grade education.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he was the second oldest, but the oldest boy.
Yeah.
So
back then, you know.
His dad, you know, working back then, you sharecropping or working in the back of the fields and whatever.
Yeah.
So they took him out of school because he was the oldest boy.
Money. He had to
help make money.
Yeah. Same thing for my grandpa. And we're talking about,
that's just your grandfather.
That's two generations away.
That's wild, bro.
It's not that long ago, bro.
Not that long ago. Same thing. My grandfather had God rest my grandfather, you know, my mom. Mom's dad, he was a sharecropper as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth grade education.
Wow, bro.
I think my mom had, forgive me, mom, for not knowing how many siblings you have. But
Diane, we love you.
Love you, mom. But
they had kids back in the day.
They had a lot of kids. So that's one generation for me where I'm still, as a kid, I'm still witnessing this sharecropping. Bro, my grandparents didn't have central plumbing. didn't have plumbing.
Running water, yeah.
They didn't have running water in the house. We had to go to a well.
My granddaddy ain't had plumbing for years, bro.
So, you know what I'm saying? When you start looking at these things that we've witnessed, it's like, yo, nah. Like, and then as you get older, it's like, wait a minute. Hold up.
I lived through that.
I lived through that. Where it's like,
I experienced all that. Like, that was real.
And when you think about it a little deeper, it's modern day slavery. Yeah. Sharecropping is literally modern day slavery.
It literally was the only way they can keep the slaves or former slaves keep on the plantation keep the labor.
Because
if they was going to leave, if the slave was going to leave, they weren't going to have the slave owners, whoever wasn't going to have any way to make that bread. You know what I'm saying? But on the flip side of that, it's like, all right, y'all have stripped us of so much. Mm-hmm. What do we have? We can't go nowhere.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know where to go. I don't even know if it's a next town next door. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So, like, going back to the Industrial Revolution, that's when niggas was fleeing
North.
Midwest and North.
Chicago, St. Louis.
All the country people in Chicago, they came from down here.
I'm from New York City, boss.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it made me want to go watch Life right now.
Let me get some of those. what did he say? What's it gonna cost to take on those white only pies? A nigga pie.
You said about 30 some miles. Yeah, bro. That's one of my shout out to Martin Lawrence. Yo, if you haven't watched it on BT Plus, they got the Martin reunion.
The reunion?
Yeah.
I don't think I have BT Plus.
I got it. So if you want it,
I need to
get you
bro.
That subscription.
Check it out.
You know what I'm saying? It's dope. They did a little, you know what I'm saying, thing for Tommy, you know what I'm saying, which was dope. Shout out. That's my favorite sitcom, Martin, man. That's, you know.
That could be another, that's another hot take for it.
Yeah, we could do that all day.
Because that's a huge debate, you know. Mm-hmm. And different eras, too. You talking about the
different eras.
70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Yeah.
I think the 90s take the cake, but that's
not. So let's get into that real quick, because they talked about it briefly on how instrumental the Martin Show was as far as, like, sitcom. Like, you think about the Martin Show, it merged sitcom with sketch comedy, you know what I'm saying? Incorporated a lot of the black experience in it, and like, yeah, there were black shows before, like you had Good Times back in, that was the 70s,
but right? When you talking about the hip-hop generation
the modern day, modern day, having a group, like, it's about a group of friends in a city, inner city in Detroit, trying to figure life out. Yeah. Nigga, that's what we doing
every day.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why I love going back and watching that joint, bro. Because
It's so much, it's so relatable to today.
So, and even seeing it through an adult's lens.
Yeah.
Like, as a kid, I was born in 91.
Yeah.
Martin came on the air in 91, I believe, or 92. One of the two.
I believe 92.
91, I think it was.
91, okay.
Yeah. But, so I saw the beginning stages of it, but I wasn't able to comprehend a lot of the little things that he may have thrown out or said or implemented into, you know.
It was one that sticks out the most to me is when Martin couldn't handle the Gina making more money than him, bro. That was
that was the funniest episode, if you think about it, bro, that's kind of real in today's time, bro. A lot of especially black women, shout out to the
hey, y'all
black
doing it, bro.
Hey, man,
bro.
Shout out to him, man. Drop a bomb for him,
yes,
man. Drop a bomb.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all legit hold it down and hold it together. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's how do you work through that? You know what I'm saying? As a man, you know what I'm saying? Your woman making more money.
I think this is a great segue. It's beautiful. Me is beautiful, man. I'm so proud of, you know, a lot of the women that are out here, like we just touched on.
Starting businesses,
demanding more, and they are the most underpaid individuals. Black women are the most underpaid individuals,
which is why they are the highest. I think they have like the most, they're the most educated, but on the flip side, you're talking about entrepreneurship.
Yes,
they're starting so many more, way more businesses than black
so
men.
Many I see so many women on my timeline on just Instagram.
Drop another bomb for them, man. Hey, y'all keep doing it, man. Sure. I'm proud of y'all, man. Shout out to
we need to have y'all on the show too. Like,
one
that comes to mind is
Renee.
Shout out to Renee.
Yeah.
Shout out to
Melissa.
Melissa.
Yes. Oh, Mel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Mel. Yeah. Proud of you, mama.
For sure.
Kraft Ave. Shout out to Kraft Ave. That y'all not, we ain't being paid to say this.
Sandy Rogers. Yeah, shout out to it.
This is all love, man.
Man. It's our people, man, and we're so proud of y'all, man. Yeah. Love to see it. You know,
for sure.
Y'all do so much, man, for the kids, the black community. And it's just beautiful. It's amazing to see, man.
I can't
say no more on it. Renee is probably one of my biggest, my favorite people to debate. But
we debate all the time.
But when it comes to her money, when it comes to her bag, Renee is on it, man.
She a boss, man.
For male, she's always, you know, encouraging. She takes on so much. Yeah. You know, she has so many different hats. She has so many different jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, other than and on top of being a mother.
Yeah.
On top of that, you know, and does it willingly, givingly, effortlessly.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no way I could do everything that she does. Yes. So really shout out to it. A lot of, you know, black women that are, you know, really going after their aspirations, their jobs, their bag, their everything, man. Because to touch back on what you were saying, you know, being a black man that where women makes more than you, I think it's beautiful.
I think it is too.
It really just it's not a competition. It shouldn't be a competition.
To a lot of feeble-minded niggas out there, it is.
It is a competition.
But it shouldn't be.
Because, like, for a woman making more than me, it really just makes me, you know, proud. Because, one, she deserves that.
Yeah.
She absolutely... What has it taken for her to get that?
Yeah.
To get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if she makes more than me, she probably still... Low balling.
Oh, that's probably facts. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what has it taken for her to get that in it? And in two, you know, if it's a woman that I'm, you know, if I'm dating, you know, I'm married and of course, if she's making more than me, you know, hey, that's more money in this household.
Yeah. That's how I look at it.
That's more money in this household. Like,
we a team.
I ain't be mad at you. Why I'm gonna chop your tree
look,
down?
This how much you make? This how much I make?
This how much we make. Hey, get that money, mama.
Help me, cuz. Help me. That's the real deal. Help me. You know what I'm saying? Help me, dog.
So, and even still, you making more, me making more, is still less than what we deserve.
Yeah.
We're still behind the eight ball because that other side of the town, other side of the railroad tracks, they've been doing this for how long?
Yeah. Years.
They've been having this. They got those, that great grandfather.
What do you call it, long money?
That long money, you understand? Know where it's off the fruits of our labor.
Yeah. We don't know nothing about that.
Yeah. So this is. The way our generation, white folk, have been set up. That's the way we're setting up the next generation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. From what you said, like we've taken so much ownership on and pride in setting up the next generation, or like paying it for, like setting up businesses and doing all these things, bro. Like my daddy won't think about starting up. We talked about it. It was survival mode, dog. Like I don't know when we ever had a conversation about starting a business in our household or being an entrepreneur or doing whatever, you know what I'm saying, that was outside of the realm of either church or whatever, you know what I'm saying. So
it was church and sports for us.
That was it, bro.
One of the things that I really remember, and I really wish that my dad had a different mentality, but like we said, we spoke on generational curses, and survival mode. One of the, you know, vague memories, not vague, but distinct memories I have of my dad was a craftsman. Mm-hmm. So he worked with his hands a lot. You know, he was good with sheet metal. He was good with making things out of nothing.
Yeah.
So he made pig cookers. He made anything sheet metal he can make. I wish my dad, and dad, I love you for this. I wish we would have had that. You would have had that entrepreneur mentality to start that business.
Yeah. My dad was good with wood, man. He was very good with wood.
And he did it on the side, but I wish he would have had the mentality of starting a legit business, starting a bank account, starting an LLC, bringing all that money
back into the community. But not only the community, but the household.
The household. Yeah. You know, he did it. Hey, I'm going to make this grill for you. You just pay me cash. But okay, how can we make this legit business?
Yeah.
Not just saying that it was.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all.
But you can
streamline it. Yeah. And then
boom, it starts from in the backyard, because I helped my dad with a lot. So that's why I got a lot of business mentality, yeah. You know, now, you know, shout out to my dad for that. But I wish he would have took it a little step further. Mm-hmm. Just take it a little bit further and really, okay, business bank account, business LLC, you know, household, you know, a shed, mm-hmm. and things like that. So then now, you know, he's not having to, you know, my dad's still working, you know, but he's making great money, but mm-hmm. he's also having to, his body's wearing down,
yeah. right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's a lifestyle that he doesn't want. He's by choice. He doesn't want to get him. He don't want to step away from.
That's how my grandfather was. He just didn't want to sit down.
So I want him to step away from it. And I wish that it was, he could have set that up, you know, cause we're talking, I'm 35. We're talking 25 years ago. When I'm helping him in the backyard, you know, making all these things and you know, selling it for top dollar, because he's has, you're talking about money back guarantee. He had that back 25 years ago.
Yeah.
If it mess up or it break or the stainless, your pig cook is not doing.
I'm gonna fix it.
Yeah, and man. I come
get. Or you get your money. I'm gonna fix it.
Right.
So, you know, just shout out to them, you know, because I know they didn't have the. Knowledge and education to, you know, really take a step, that extra step. And
that makes me think of I think it's just a saying, like, I guess, I don't know how it goes, but it talks about, it's so many gifts in the graveyard. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about people passion, but at the same time, we're talking about developing, you know what I'm saying, and furthering yourself, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of that comes from, like, knowledge of self and then, like, being affirmed, you know what I'm saying? Like
being affirmed, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like my dad, go to your point with your dad, like he's good with his hands, he knows how to work. And a lot of our fathers from
that
our generation, that's the thing that they have. Like they had woodworking in school still. They had you working on car, they had, you know what I'm saying,
auto mechanics
in
you
school.
Come, and you come out with a certification.
You know what I'm saying? With a trade.
You always got a job.
Yeah. Though it's unfortunate for them because they had all that stuff in school and to the educational system, like they thought that was gonna set them up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But what they didn't do was set them up on the business side. Like we gonna give you the tools, but we're not gonna set you up on the business
on
side.
The financial side, like
you know what I'm saying?
Learning about credit.
It's kinda like those gifts that they developed or honed in on kinda like went to waste. You know what I'm saying?
I saw something
the other day that said we're the most educated, we're in a generation where education was forced on us. Higher learning was forced on us.
I've been saying this for so long.
Underpaid generation.
Because that's another topic for another day. Because it really it's is. how much money could I have made
had I went a different route?
Yeah,
but it was forced on us.
So you telling me I got to go to college? Now, granted, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the experiences that I've experienced were because of, you know what I'm saying, me going to college and meeting the people that I met. Now, was it because I got a diploma? No.
Yeah.
But it was because of the
relationships in an environment
I developed with people that I you know what I'm saying, came across in college. You know what I'm saying? Made an impression, whatever have you. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, bro. Like, I agree. I definitely agree.
I don't push college. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
If that's what you want to do.
It's cool.
But I also, you know, as far as money...
Mm-hmm. Make the money, go make the bag, bro. Because at the end of the day, bro, like I have so much student on debt, bro. So it's like being a musician.
Man, they ain't getting that money from me.
This gonna have to be edited out. That's a fact, bro. Like think
I
about
to
it.
Like, Gal, like, yeah, why like, are you bro, like, on this?
Hey, I don't even know. I don't even think they realize that they not getting that money.
They not getting that money.
Like, the only way you gonna get that money
is in blood.
you have to come find me, Jack. Like, put me in the electric chair right now. Like, that's the only way you getting that bread, yo. Because I ain't checking in to sign in. I ain't signing in. I don't even know my sign in to get into paying whatever I got to pay.
No, sir. So, I 100%, man, you know, for all the kids that are, you know, graduating now, you know, shout out to class of 2022.
Congratulations.
Go to community college, man. And save your money.
Figure yourself out, man.
Find it out, bro. You don't necessarily have to go to college to do great things. You don't necessarily, if you have a desire to be a specialty doctor, lawyer, you know, X, Y, and Z, of course you need college.
Real estate.
You don't have to go to college for that. Take a real estate course.
Yo, and it ain't nothing wrong with...
get a barber's license.
Yeah, but I think I was talking to Gab the other day, and I was like, it's nothing wrong with being passionate about something and you're not making money off of it. Mm. I'm passionate about the podcast. I'm passionate about music.
Yeah. Am I making money? Artisan.
Yeah, yeah. Artisan. Like, shout out to Artisan. But like, are you making money? Are you making a lot of money from that? Do you pay your bills?
Not from that.
So like, to me, it's like, okay, it's
I'm at a loss.
Right. It's nothing wrong, but because
it is what it is.
It's not about that. Like, you're doing it because you're passionate about it. So I think we've been sold this lie that just because you're passionate about something, that you, this is how you have to make your money.
That's how you
got to
make your money. Yeah.
It's like, no, bro, it's okay to be an accountant and fund your passion.
Yeah.
To fund your passion.
Yeah. That's real.
You know, eventually what I'm saying? That passion, it's going to eventually make money for you. It's going to make money for you.
Yeah. If you're passionate that enough about it, you know what I'm saying? It's going to come back to you. Yeah. All the effort that you put into it, it's going to come back.
It's just how the universe tenfold, works.
100-fold.
Yeah. You know, because that passion, it also is going to drive you.
Yeah.
That passion is going to drive you. So it's a fire. It's a fire up under your ass. Like, boom. Like, I need to get this.
That's real.
And then once you have that passion.
It's almost like you hear basketball players going back to basketball. You hear them talk about, like, tasting the champagne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Magic Johnson said it before. Man, LeBron, man, once he tastes the champagne, it's going to be over. So it's kind of like that, bro. Like, once you feel that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying, people praise you, whatever, you know what I'm saying, that makes you want to go that much harder, bro.
Because it's your passion.
Exactly. And
if you just do it just to make money, you may make money.
You're just going to end at the money.
You're just going to end at the money, because you're going to always want more money.
Y'all listen to the new Kendrick?
Yeah.
I know you're a J. Cole fan, you know what I'm saying, so what do you think of the Kendrick?
I loved it, bro.
I'm happy to hear you say that, bro. Because I don't get into like debating albums because I don't generally care. You know what I'm saying? Like, if an album come out, half the time I don't even know somebody dropped something.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
That's crazy.
He be late. He be late all the time.
Being a musician, that's here.
But I'm gonna tell you what the handicap.
He on the old stuff.
It's,
that would
no, no, no. It's a handicap. It's like you prepare a lot for the next thing. So it's like, I got this gig coming up, so I'm listening to music that I got to prepare for instead of listening to music at my leisure, you know what I'm saying, for entertainment more so.
I got you.
So I'm never in the loop when it comes to, bro, you hear new that stuff. New Kendrick or you hear that new Robert Glasper or whatever. Like, I ain't know they was doing something.
You heard a new Drake?
I did, bro.
What you think?
I ain't even know Drake dropped.
He dropped it. It came out at 12 o'clock last night.
So, touch back on, you know, the Kendrick joint, bro. I loved it, man, because it really just talked about a lot of different.
What we talking about
what
now.
What we're talking about.
For
now.
Sure.
Yeah. I loved it because it needs to be, you know, I think a lot of celebrities don't really talk about what Kendrick talked about. And, you know, you think about the life, the limelight, you know, things about this nature. But he just talked about so much that really needed to be addressed that we deal with as black men.
I'm still processing that album right now.
You know what my favorite joint is?
What?
I don't know. I don't even know what the title is. I just know the fuck you, bitch. I listen to that joint like, yo, Massetti probably rock with this.
Yeah,
joint.
Yeah, yeah.
If Massetti rock with any song on this album,
that's it, right there. I rock with that one. Yeah, yeah, that was my joint. Yo,
that's like probably.
I was laughing when it was happening.
Nah, it's funny, but the way the joint end though, the way is it for me is like, yo, that's legit how the joint be. Like you pick a fight.
What's up, bro?
You know what I'm saying? And it happened the way it happened.
Yeah.
You know
what it is.
Man, fuck you, man. Don't bring my mama in and then she gave you the car.
Give me my keys. You ain't going to work.
Nah, you can walk that.
You walking today, ho.
Bro, the joint was legit. Like, yo, that's how the joint really be.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's a dope joint because.
Nah, look.
He tapped into, not to cut you off, but he tapped into a lot of mental.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mental. Like, and with our community now, like the black man, like, that's a lot of what we've been taught to shun. That's the devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who you gonna talk to?
That's a spirit on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I get it. You know what I'm saying? Being brought up in church, I understand it. But it's like, nah, bro, everything ain't a spirit. Yeah, some of it is trauma that you actually put me through. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
goes back to the generation curses.
Yeah. Generational curses, which is gonna bring us to this next
reconciliation. Yeah.
That's the last we're gonna end with that with generational curses.
Yeah.
Because half the time we don't
reconcile.
It's swept We talked about that with the job or who, yeah, or you know what I'm saying, or the family. Yeah. It's swept under the rug like nothing ever occurred. Like we didn't just have an argument.
Yeah.
The last family outing. Like we ain't just argue, so we didn't, so that's not, that didn't happen.
That would,
yeah. And you just going like not cool, acknowledge what you said,
yeah,
within the argument, because it's one thing to argue.
I don't move.
Because people disagree, right?
Disagree all the time,
right? But it's what people say in the moment.
In the moment
that,
and don't feed me that I was just feeling that in the moment. You felt that for some time.
Yeah.
And it came out in that moment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm glad that it came out because I know how you really feel. I know how you really feel.
Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? I know how you really feel, dog.
But I think it's so imperative, man.
Yeah, bro.
It just really, really, man, you need that.
I think in a traditional mindset, the old school male way of thinking, right? Like reconciliation, closure. It's been characterized as a feminine trait.
Yeah, yeah.
I need closure.
Or just mask as something different. Like, let me buy a bicycle. And then that fixes it. Let me get him a new basketball. That'll fix it. It's all over with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going
to drive you to practice.
As a kid, bro, tell me I suck. that sticks with me.
For life, bro.
But life.
So
life,
you need to get faster, son.
Yeah.
All right, bro. That's just, you know what I'm saying? So but reconciliation. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just parents, man, you know, tell your kids that you're sorry.
Yeah. Yo, that's a big thing, yo. Like, cause I don't necessarily
acknowledgement, reconciliation.
That's just now. Like, this past Christmas, I was in Virginia. My dad came up. We had a conversation. Like, my dad was like, "Man, I'm just so sorry." Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, hindsight is 20/20.
Right.
So looking back on it, you know what I'm saying, he can obviously see where he could have done better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, as his children, you know what I'm saying, we growing up in it, we can obviously have seen or voiced how we felt about things that they could have done better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, bro, you make decisions based on what you have in front of you.
Yeah. And what you know at that
and what you know at that point in time.
So I don't hold, and it's not just like our parents specifically, but it's that generation.
Right.
Like to me, I try to think of it like people talk about, I used to think it have this mindset of slave food, right? So slave food exists obviously because the white people didn't want to eat certain parts of the animal,
yeah.
So they gave it to the slaves, right? And we, being who we are,
we took it
and made it into a delicacy.
Yes.
Flip it and rubbed it down.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Turned it into something good.
You know what I'm saying? So like when I said all that to say, I used to say, oh, I ain't eating that because it's slave food.
Yeah.
Mm.
Versus now how I look at it, it comes from a very privileged perspective, and rightfully so, because our ancestors laid the foundation,
yeah,
right? But they didn't have a choice.
Right.
They made it into a delicacy, and now, you know, these—
Give me an example.
Chitlins, collard greens was just a weed,
bro. You didn't eat collard greens?
Bro, I was the picky eater out of all my—
Bro, you didn't eat collard greens.
Bro, that nigga didn't eat bananas.
When I say collard greens, listen.
Bro, when I say
collard greens, hey, hot dogs, potatoes, and bread.
It won't no beans.
Bro, you ain't eat collard greens. Now, the chitlins, I can understand. Bro, you ain't eat collard greens? Bro, I'm judging you right now.
No, listen. Can I respond?
Green beans.
When I'm talking about things that our ancestors took and made better. In this regard, when I'm talking about things that our ancestors took and made better. These niggas.
He ate cornbread. That's a start.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead, bro. My bad.
No, go ahead.
What I'm saying in terms of what our ancestors took and made better, collard greens was one of those things.
Absolutely.
When I'm talking about quote unquote slave food. No, I ain't talking about collard greens.
I'm talking about chitlins.
I'm talking about pig feet, pig ears, hog head cheese, all the, you know what I'm saying, what was labeled country.
Hey, you ever had hog head cheese?
Nah, fam.
Hey, you ever had hog head cheese?
Bro, I don't even know what
back,
that is.
Sauce.
Now, I'm from the country.
Have you ever had sauce meat?
Sauce?
I have.
I ain't gonna lie. Sauce meat good.
Chicken gizzards. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can still get some good chicken gizzards. Hey, do y'all remember when KFC made chicken gizzards?
No,
but I remember when the BP station in Bun used to make.
Boy, we
hold on.
To get a box of gizzards for a dollar.
Nah, $5, KFC used to make chicken gizzards.
I don't remember that,
bro.
Bro, I'm telling you. I swear to you.
Yeah. It might have, was this in Tarboro?
No, look, but listen,
it wasn't Tarboro. No lie, it wasn't Tarboro.
It might have been, it might have been specific to that one.
But no, I said all that maybe to say,
I don't know, cause I ain't never seen chicken gizzards at no fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
No,
me neither.
Chicken gizzards was in KFC.
Bro. They were busting. Yeah. Were they good?
Oh my god,
that's wild, bro.
Oh my god. Dang. But I've never had gizzards. I never had chitlins.
Tried chitlins one time. He tried them.
I've had pig feet before.
I've had pig feet when I was younger. And my dad, I ain't know what I was eating, bro. My dad,
these niggas ate anything. I'm telling you, bro, I didn't even eat eggs.
My dad, one day, I remember, you know what I'm saying, I wasn't in school yet, and he decided he wants some pig feet because he a country nigga.
Yeah.
So he got some pig, and I was my dad's ace, bro. So I always did everything he did. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he ate pig feet. Right. He ate a banana sandwich with
peanut butter.
I ate a banana sandwich with peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? So I tried it, and low key, like, I mean, it's food.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, but you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't eat it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think now, like, I know what some of the things are that we ate as a kid, and it's hard to go back now that I'm older. Not saying that I'm better than it, but health-wise.
To your point, what I was trying to say before we went into this part, I was trying to say that our ancestors laid the foundation. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a choice. They laid the foundation so I could have a choice.
And my choice.
My choice is, nigga, I ain't eating no chitlin, bro.
I made that choice a long time ago.
I ain't never tried no chitlin. I had pig feet.
No, I done had pig feet.
I ain't had no pig ears.
I never had pig ears. I had pig cheek before.
Pig cheek. That's probably good because I watched what the guy's name is, like Andrew Zimmern, and he does
he's the
YouTuber
Bizarre Food.
Okay.
And he'll
try anything.
Other countries eating lamb and lamb face,
eating snake
cheek
eyes
and all that stuff. Yeah. So I can.
So I had cheek in a different country.
Okay,
so
yeah, that makes sense.
I had it in DR. It was actually amazing, actually.
I'm sure it was.
It was amazing.
They know how to cook down there.
Yeah. It was amazing. That was only, I had octopus.
Word.
How was
that?
Yeah, have you had gator?
I had gator.
I had some gator.
I think I had some gator.
I had gator in ATL.
Word.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I tried frog legs once on the
Never
cruise.
Tried frog legs.
I heard that tastes like chicken.
Yes, and I just couldn't visit, like, can't mentally. I can't even get past eating shrimp and lobster, because in my mind they're just big bugs in the ocean, bro.
Technically, they are. But
I can't get past it.
That flavor would be hitting.
Bugs. I think of like a roach or something. Like
yeah.
They're in the related, similar. I think. They're related from what I know. Don't quote me on this. We ain't no zoology.
Bro, you can't eat shrimp,
bro.
I love shrimp.
I can eat shrimp. I've eaten popcorn shrimp. If it's breaded, I'll eat it.
You know what I'm saying? Shrimp fried rice.
But like,
every time I go to
just
a Chinese food restaurant,
basic, you know what I'm saying?
Shrimp, crab bowl.
I'll eat a good crab cake.
He can't. I don't think he. You ain't never. Have you ever had did a crab boil? Like eat the crab, open the crab.
I'm not doing that, bro.
Yeah,
bro, it's not doing amazing.
Yeah, bro,
it's amazing, bro. We gonna get a crab boil.
Yeah, man.
We gonna try.
I'll try, bro. I'll bring some steak.
No, try, bro. I'm telling you.
He gonna bring some pills, beef and side dogs.
I'm gonna have a great with all the fixings, the butter in the bottom of the bag, garlic, Old Bay,
had a
lemon pepper, corn on the cob,
Old Bay seasoning on the side.
Start with the shrimp first.
Listen, I don't eat corn on the cob, bro.
Bro,
you know me, bro. Like you act like you ain't acting all surprised. All
right, bro. We grew up together, but I don't know you,
bro. There you go, bro.
Hey man, shout out to the brothers, man. Take a drink to the brothers, man.
That might not even make no sense, but
I don't know you, nigga.
I thought you ate corn on the cob, bro.
I've never eaten corn on the cob in my life, bro.
That's
oh, you I'm, still got you, yeah. Hey man, hey man, shout out to brotherhood though, man.
Brotherhood,
for sure.
And we need this as more as black men, man. That was a great transition from that, man. Love these guys, man. I literally grew up with them my entire life, the Barnes and the Heath.
So it's crazy, not to cut you off, but to cut you off. people don't really understand like where that bond really comes from.
Yeah. Break it down for them.
Yo, how you so close to Massetti? Like,
what
even
you mean?
Even like we
family.
We've built relationships with other brothers in the community, like the Austins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like that's another group of brothers that we that's like family. Our blood. You know what I'm saying? That's family. And we about to segue into that whole situation. But it's like he, not him, but his family, his mom and our mom knew each other back in the day.
Yeah.
Now don't get me to lying. Telling you how they knew. They might have worked at daycare or something.
Yeah, they worked somewhere.
They worked somewhere together.
And we got to figure this story out, Mom.
Yeah, Mom. Miss Diane.
I don't even know.
And Mom, well, y'all tell us how y'all met. But
oh, I'm sorry. Miss Sharonda.
I feel like it was a daycare. I feel like it was a daycare or something.
Maybe a daycare.
Might be a daycare.
Maybe Parham daycare. It might have
been. It was.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
So that's where the relationship and that bond comes from. So we ended up Hurricane, Fran?
Yep.
Displaced a lot of people.
Back in what is that?
It was a tornado. Like, it was a tornado.
It was different.
Tornado in Zeppelin. Yeah.
Okay. So it displaced a lot of people. I'm not saying that's how we were displaced. Our situation might have been. But somehow, some way, bro, this is how I say it, man. This is how God worked.
Yeah.
Like we ended up in the same community. You know what I'm saying? We left one community, ended up in the same community, not knowing like that we were gonna run into each other every day. I think our moms, they were at Bun Middle School open house.
Yeah, and they saw each other.
I remember it like it was yesterday. We was in that hall. It was like a hallway that leads from the hallway from the sixth grade, seventh grade hall to the eighth grade.
Yep.
And they ran into each other and was like, Diane, Sharonda?
Yeah.
What you doing? Da da da. And it was like, yo, ever since then it's like a bond that cannot be broken. Sure. You know what I'm saying? So Shout out to the tornado.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I drink to that, man. But that's where the bond comes from. Yeah. That's why.
I think a lot of people, I know we've had like side conversations over the years talking about like family versus friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, what I was mentioning before about the line that I wrote is a song that I have not released yet, but the line goes and it says, chilling with my family, no friends, because sometimes the water stick and the flavor is strong as can.
Drop a bomb for that,
you know what I'm saying? And I ain't gonna say I'm the, you know what I'm saying, the illest.
Hey, but that's illest, a bar.
But that's a bar though, you know what I'm saying? So like, basically what I'm saying, if y'all didn't get it, is, you know what I'm saying?
Break it down for him.
If you not related by blood, don't mean you can't be family. Family, man.
Yeah.
Like, so this is my brother right here. I remember recently, said he got married a few months ago.
Yeah.
And obviously everybody has their I guess their weariness when it comes to the pandemic and COVID or whatever. You know, my wife was very weird. She was pregnant at the time. Yeah. And she wasn't going because she was just super pregnant.
Right.
And also it was like compounding with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's too risky, right? Understandable. I held out for so long because I didn't know how to tell her that I couldn't miss my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's love, bro. I appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? That's how, that was a real conversation. Yeah. And she kind of understood where I was coming from.
Yeah.
Because she knew how she felt about everything else.
Right.
And I knew how she felt. I just didn't know how to say it and say it. I was like, damn, I don't know how this is going to work, but I can't not be there.
And I just found out recently that, and this is how deep our relationship goes, man. He didn't even tell me this prior to the wedding, that he stayed in the hotel after the wedding for a week.
I quarantined because she was pregnant, man. So I was like,
he didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
So when I heard that, bro, it really made me like,
dang, I'm that important. You know what I'm saying, you brothers, bro. Like, legit.
It hit me in a different manner because, like, bro, like, that's love to me, bro. Like, and then to go back to what you were saying, just family versus like relatives, like, it don't matter if we're related. How are we as family,
right?
You know, and to break that further down, like, how are we, what is the love that this paid to you?
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the most ultimate loves of affection and that he's ever showed me. And we've had great moments, but you know, you held that out, you know, because you didn't even tell me.
Yeah.
It literally just came up in conversation.
At the end of the day, it was like the objective was to be there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it didn't matter how.
And
but.
So when I talk about love, man, when I talk about, you know, family, like, I got family members right now that's still not talking to me because they weren't invited to the wedding. Mm-hmm. Where is like, how can I take away a seat of somebody like you or you or Gerard or anybody else that was non-related that has such a great relationship with me and not only me, that know the relationship and the person in which I'm marrying, How can I take that seat away when they don't even know who I'm marrying?
Blood don't make you family.
Blood don't love.
Love makes you family.
Makes you family. And I'm not. I can't take that relationship away.
That's a bomb.
I really can't take that related relationship because we're always going to be blood.
Yeah,
we're always going to be related. But the love that's been displayed, you know, that really determines like what type of family member you are.
Look, man. Everybody who's listening and watching right now, find your tribe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At any cost. Because at the end of the day, your happiness is the most important thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Your find happiness your tribe. Is dependent upon you.
Yeah.
Like, you're responsible for your own happiness.
Happiness, bro. Yeah. You can't.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you miserable around your family, your blood, find some.
You can choose your family.
You can choose your family,
you can
bro.
Choose your family.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, I can't choose my relatives
at all.
Yeah. I can't choose.
I couldn't choose him.
Now on the flip side of I have some amazing relatives.
Facts.
Amazing relatives.
Facts. I love my family.
And a shout out to my family and relatives my relatives that's really, really, truly family. I love y'all to death. And for the relatives that are not so close, I'm not saying that we'll never be close again or our relationships can't be, you know, what we want it to be. I'm just saying it's just not there at this current moment.
Bro, reality is
and that's okay.
We had on a previous episode, you know what I'm saying, that y'all will see, we had a discussion about like I guess growing distant from friends with
over
time. That's kinda like the same thing, bro. Like you grow up with a core group of cousins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever family function it is, you know you're going to see these.
I know I'm
going
to see that. And I look forward to
it. Right? You look forward to it.
Sure.
But as time passes,
life
go
happens.
Through life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have those same experiences holding you together. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of.
Ooh, I was just talking about loss, this with our cousin.
It's a loss of love or anything like that. It's more so of our experiences have just.
It's just different.
Yeah.
Different
it's
now.
Just different.
You know what I'm saying? And, I still love you.
Yeah.
I still care about you the same way. If you need anything, if I can be an assistant.
Let me
if
be
I
there.
Can help.
I'll be there.
Yeah. I'll be there. Even
man,
if
this was a riveting conversation. This is a very layered conversation talking about family versus friends, talking about generational curses. The hot takes were dope today. I feel like this is always going to be an ongoing conversation. And we can really just continue it for another episode.
Yeah,
real talk.
I love this, man. This has been super dope, man. And one thing I love about y'all, man, it's and not to exclude, I gotta include Gerard. Gotta include Gerard on that, man. He wasn't able to make it to this one, but I know he'll be in future ones. Just having these type of we need these in the black male community conversations. We always talk about so many different things, basketball, X, Y, and Z. You know, what layer is deeper than that?
Yeah.
And how are we taking care of ourselves mentally? What are we doing, you know, for when we're upset? Therapeutic self care.
Yeah.
You know, and finances.
Yeah. Just to chime in on what you're saying, I feel like a lot of in the world that we live in today, you know, mental health is a hot topic, right?
Absolutely.
So I'll see a lot of people talking about like men having podcasts and using it as a form of therapy and how in a lot of cases they're just perpetuating a lot of problematic things. This I'm gonna let y'all know right now, the gentleman's guide, this is not that. It's not that.
And you know what else,
you know what I'm
just to piggyback on what you're saying, you know, I've been seeing a lot of topics of like get rid of podcasts, men bashing women, especially
this
black
ain't that
women.
Man,
this ain't that.
Yeah,
man. We're really here to talk about more so how to become better.
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing on an everyday basis? You know, how can we help somebody else? You know, and that's what I love. You know, I've been in, this is my first time being on it, but I've been watching it.
It's your second time.
Oh, second time. I'm sorry. I forgot about the first. Yeah. This is my second time being on it.
First one was a minute ago.
Yeah, the first one was a minute ago.
It was a little.
It was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID.
That was
right in
that
heart.
Was the height of COVID.
Yeah. So,
Check in part one.
Now that I think about it, the topics. I remember the topics now. But
check in part one. Y'all check it out, man.
But you know, I just love shout out to you, man. You know, putting such amazing content together. You know, topics together, and really having complex thought and bro, this shit is dope, bro.
I appreciate that, man.
I hope
let's just be clear though. you came up with this topic today.
Hey, bro, you asked me, bro, and I'm because I know what. Because
I'm a collaborator, man. Yeah. I'm not the person that you know. I may have an idea, and usually when I know, a lot of people can't tell me different.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like something like this, this is a collaboration. Like it was my original idea to like do something to this effect, but it ain't. It's only as good as the collective. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, it's as good as you. What you made it.
Made it.
It's as good as what you and we're able to help you and assist you with that because of what your dreams and aspirations were from the very beginning. Yeah. So, you know, this is you.
Yeah.
You know, I was just able to, you know, just you know,
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
And no way, shape, and form will this be anything, you know, downgrading, you know, because we all see it.
Yeah.
We all see what's being said about podcasts and stuff like that. And you know what I love about this is that you're separating yourself far greater than, you know, the average clickbait.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the part that I hate, man. Because me and Renee, I talk with her about a lot of different things every now and then too. And I was like, of course, all the clickbait is going to be all the problematic stuff.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying. That's what's gonna go viral. That's just the way.
Which is why Artisan was founded.
Talk about it, yo. Talk about it real quick.
What is Artisan, for the folks who don't know?
Oh man. Yo, shout out to the founder, man, James Randolph, man.
Yes, sir.
You need to have him on too, man.
Yeah, man. I love to have him on. Artisan is more so about, you know, talking about the positivity in the world because we have so much negativity. The clickbait, you know, and really talking about the everyday working individual that's out here working, making a difference in the community, but they may not get the accolades, they may not get the recognition, they may not get the praise in which they deserve, but they're out here making a difference.
They're making moves, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the art of ascending is what really made artists
fire, man.
The art of ascending.
When you
ascend in life.
If you didn't catch it, he just broke down what Artisan
means. Shout out to Artisan, man. That's a bomb.
The art of ascending is really what's making the community what it is. You know, the mom and pop shops, the Robert Jameson collections, the everyday, like.
I need to get me a suit from him, man.
Hey, man, shout out to
top notch.
Yeah, bro, I'll be getting
before
married.
They get too expensive.
Yeah.
Look.
Hey, run that bag up, though, sir. Man. But,
I'll be getting married one day.
Yeah. The Kerry Neals out here, man.
Hey, shout out to Kerry. Hey, we need to have Kerry on, man.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Dude is doing it up, man.
The all types
win performance.
Andre Davis, shout out to Andre, man.
That's what Artisan is all about. Just really highlighting those individuals that's making a difference in the community.
Yes, sir.
But
sure.
You know, because they're not talking about the negativity,
right?
The things that people want to hear,
they're not getting the
recognition. Yeah. But you know, we're here to, you know, put that out for
highlight
them.
You know,
Volume 2 coming soon. And you know we got some great content, man. We're really, you know,
can people still get the book?
Volume 1
they still
can get Volume 1, man. If you want Volume 1, let me know. I got plenty of copies. You know, Cool J got plenty of copies. You know, Cool J is James Randolph, for anybody that, you know, may not know him by, you know, his alias. Cool J.
See, I've been knowing you for some time now, man. I didn't even know that was your
yeah. Cool J. This right here, you know, Artisan definitely wanted to, you know, highlight the gentleman's guide.
Yeah, for sure.
That's definitely what
the world
needs to hear. The more positivity from a black man's perspective, black man's lens, and really just give them, him, you, no matter the nationality, no matter the race, what they deserve.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, we are all about.
That's amazing, man.
For sure, bro. This was dope.
This was dope, man. Fire conversation. More fire conversations to be had. Appreciate y'all tuning in. What's up?
Real quick.
What you got?
If there are any people out there that want to, you know what I'm saying, you want to hear the Gentleman's Guy discuss any topics,
let us know.
Topics,
ooh,
in, bro.
Ooh, that's dope.
IG, yeah. Gentleman's Guy 919.
Whatever it is, man, it don't matter. Of course, we're going to screen them.
Yeah.
Pick and choose.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just send them in. You know what I'm saying? What's the email?
The email is gentlemansguy919@gmail.com. You can shoot us an email. You can hit our IG, Gentleman's Guide 919. And that's Gentleman's Guide. You'll see it on screen, of course. But hit us up, man. What you want to hear? What conversations you want us to talk about? Ask advice. Ask for our you know, not so much expertise, but just what do we think of a certain situation?
Yeah.
You never know.
So what I love about us, man, and I'm going to just speak, you know, for yourself, yourself, myself, you know, Gerard, anybody else. We don't know it all. But the thing about it, we don't mind saying we don't know.
Exactly.
But our network is so broad.
We know somebody who does know.
We know somebody that does know.
I just watched, I don't know, I think it was, this, I don't know if y'all seen it, the Snoop Dogg, he got a special on Netflix.
He got a special on
It's like a comedian joint.
Nah, I ain't seen
where
that.
He kind of kicking it. It's like a, okay. I forgot what it's called, what the title of it is, but he kind of just kicking it with a couple comedians.
Okay.
D-Ray Davis, Cat Williams is up there. I think Cat Williams was saying something to that knowledge of what you just said. Like, I don't even know what you just said, but he was.
We don't know it all, but we know somebody who does. Yeah. If we don't know something,
like,
we can find somebody
the network. Like if I'm
that's why network is important.
This close to, or if you. Like, you come to me for a service, or you come to me inquiring about something. Hey, bro, man, I've been needing.
If you need a drummer,
I've been needing keyboarders. Somebody to do such and such. Or whatever.
Hey, Drew,
let me call such and such. He knows somebody.
Hey, that's the first person. You know what I'm saying?
He knows somebody. So you may not be in direct contact with somebody, but your network is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So your network is very important, bro. That should be another topic that we talk about. Like, how important is your network?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The network that you build, just from engaging in conversation with people to like
to professional
to college or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that's important, bro.
For
so
sure.
You never know what your conversation will lead to in your future. So.
Absolutely.
Bet, man. So yeah, like, share, subscribe, comment. We appreciate y'all, and we'll see you next time. We out.
For sure.
Peace. Hey.